we're so blessed here. As Sandy said, we have. I'm gonna miss my hug and the smile from Christine. Told somebody today, if you go to sleep and wake up with the Lord, I want to tell you right now, I love you. Beforehand, I wish I knew. Now, I wish I'd have hugged her a little tighter and told her I loved her. You never know. Be ready. That's why it's important to be ready. But you know, to go to sleep, wake up with your Lord. What a way! What a way to go! And so we appreciate her testimony. Appreciate what she was here. Well, the title of our message this morning is "What a Woman Wants." Very catchy sermon title. I realize, and Eddie told me yesterday, if I really knew that I could write books and would never have to work again. But I want us to think about that this morning, and we'll turn to God's Word, Titus chapter 2 and 3 and 5, and let's stand to our feet, if you would, to honor the Word of God, Titus chapter 2, 3 through 5. And the Word of God says, "The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Let's pray. Father, for just a few moments, I pray in Jesus' name. So thankful for the women that are here at South Fork. So thankful for the godly women and the heritage in this church and in this community. I think of many that have gone on already that has meant a great, great deal to me. And Lord, I pray for just a few moments, God, that you'll be honored through the teaching and preaching of your word. In Christ's name and for his glory, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. What a woman wants. That's a catchy title, I realize. I contend to you that a godly woman wants to please her Lord. A godly woman wants to please her Lord. She's always seeking to do what it is that her Savior desires. In order to please him, you got to know what he desires, what he wants you to know, what he wants you to do, what he wants you to want. And so that's why we go to Titus chapter 2 today. And I want us to look and see in Titus chapter 2 for just a few moments. I know we're running tight on time, but you know what? We're going to take our time. If it was a basketball game, we sat there for 2 hours and watched it last night and went to bed discouraged, okay? Yeah. Some of us were happy, but that's okay. But I'm just saying, we're going to take out on a rush because I think it's so important. I think it's so important, and the women are so, I'm so thankful women are such an important part of our church that we need to look at what God's Word, and when we're looking at Titus chapter 2, Paul is really dealing with characteristics of a healthy church, and that's so important, characteristics of a healthy church. This is what a healthy church looks like. This is what's going on within a healthy church, and so it helps us that we can see through God's Word what he expects from each and every one of us. He begins this chapter challenging the men, and that's where we get to that part where he says, the older women likewise. He's already told the men, this is what I expect of you, but then I want us to look at the characteristics of what in a healthy church, what God expects women to do and what he expects them to be and the manners that he expects for them to have. And so I want us to look at that today. In a healthy church, what women are characterized in this way. And first is her manner. Look at verse 3. "The older women, likewise, they are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." I want you to know something. Satan has his sights set on the home and the family. How many of us can say amen to that? His greatest artillery is focused at the homes and at the family. Look at all the things that we deal with today in our news, in our media, the agendas that we see. It's focused at the home and destroying the home. Why? Because that is what God set up. That is society. That's what he established in the very beginning. And that's what he means for us to keep if we're to function the way that he made us to be. So he sets his sight at the home, and you know what? He set his sights on the women of the home. And I want to contend to you that I've said this to Sandy many times. So go the women, so go society. Women have a way of keeping us men in check. Can anybody say amen to that? And we're a bunch of lugheads sometimes that just wants to do what we want to do. But it's most of the time it was the women that have held the church together. It's the women that have kept society from just falling apart. So go the women, so go society. I want to tell you something. I've never seen women challenge so much in our society today. And many are caving in. And no longer are they the glue, but it's starting to come unravel. I want us to think about that, how important it is in our manner when we're serving and want to be a healthy church and be characterized by God. I want you to think about how can we combat these attacks. I don't want to say leave you. How can we combat the attacks of the world against our family, against husbands, against wife, against children? How can we combat that? It is written. It is written. Christ showed us how to combat Satan, how to stumble him, how to pull back from temptation. It is written. And I want us to think about her manner today, and when he talks for the older women likewise to be reverent in behavior. First, I want you to see that sincerity, that they be reverent in behavior. What's it talking about? The word reverent actually means to be priest-like. The idea of holiness. Paul's saying, women, be holy. Be holy in your actions, in your deeds, in your motives. And then he says, talks about in your behavior. And that's actually the word that we use for fragrance. Think about that. Be reverent in your behavior, or be holy in your fragrance. You know what he's talking about? Smell like Christ. Give off the aroma of a godly woman, of a God woman. When people come around you, let them see the difference in your life. Sherry, I appreciate a testimony. They don't have to sit up here and talk about the garbage that I got into in life. I often talked about that when I was talking to my students. I hope to goodness they don't think they've got to go through the garbage I did to have a good testimony. A real good testimony is when you can say, I never did it. In today's world, praise God. Thank you for that. Would that we would all have that testimony. Some of us don't. But that's all right. We're still saved under the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Sincerity. Have the fragrance of holiness. Also speech. Look, not slanderers. You don't gossip. You refuse to listen, much less spread demeaning words about others. Now, I know this might be a little problem. We're geared that way, aren't we, if we're not careful? And ladies, you got the best dose of it, it seems like. You like to spread. Man, you go to a hair salon, and I'm sitting there, and sometimes I go to get my hair cut with women, and you hear them over there, the whole time it's talking about this and that. It's just like that's their livelihood. Ladies, to be a God woman, you can't be giving in to that. You can't be spreading gossip. Your speech has got to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Men are known for verbal or for physical abuse. Women are known for verbal abuse. And sometimes verbal abuse can be much more devastating than physical abuse. Well, not only is sincerity in speech, but soberness, not given to much wine. I know some of you social drinkers are saying, see, it's okay as long as I don't get drunk. You know what? A little bit of fire will burn down the forest. Is that not what James says? You play with fire, you get burnt. So why even mess with it? Why even mess with it? Stay away from it. It's like a snake in an adder, and you think you can keep it under control, and next thing you know, it's burning the world down. And he's talking about soberness. He's talking about this not being given to an addiction. You know, many of the women in our culture today use wine as a means of escape. Instead, the escape becomes a prison to many of them. You don't want to be in that prison. Well, that's sincerity, speech, soberness, and then service. Look what it says. Teachers of good things. You know what? You're to be an example. She's to be an example. We fulfill, we show what the Lord has done in your life, like bragging for it, but you're showing this example of good service. You're teaching others desperately. Oh, how many young ladies here would say, I was desperately wish one of these women to come by and show me how to put up with this crazy man and these kids that's making me about to pull my hair out. I'm serious. Ladies, you have a vast knowledge that the world will tell you. Look, your world will tell you, you don't know nothing. You know, good for, hey, that's garbage. That's garbage. You have a vast knowledge. You've especially you ladies that's been through the storms of life, to help and come along. And we're going to see that played out even in the next point. Not only is that her manner, this sincerity, speech, and soberness and service, but her mandate. Now listen to what it says. These principles of the godly woman, that they admonish the young women. Webster's in an admonishment means to tell, to urge someone to do something, to indicate duties or obligations. It said, older women, it's your mandate to help the younger women. Well, younger women, you're responsible, what? To listen and learn. Who's teaching the younger women of our day? Let me ask you that. Who's teaching them if the older women aren't coming alongside? Don't tell me you don't have enough time. God's Word says to do it. And to him that knoweth to do good, do it not to him. It's what? Sin. If you're not doing what God says, it's a sin. And I don't want to get on you and make you feel bad, because guess what? Each day you can say, Lord, okay, I haven't been doing that, but I could do it today. Praise God. So think about that. I want you to think about these things. Look, and he says, hey, admonish, teach, show them these things, and the older women to the younger women. Who are teaching our younger women? Is it Oprah? Dear God, I hope not. Because, you know what she says? If you're not happy, leave, because you deserve happiness. That sounds pretty good, don't it? That's what the world teaches you. If you're not happy, you just leave and find your happiness. That's not what God's Word says. God's Word said, if you want to have true happiness, you want to have abundant life, you find it in Jesus Christ. And so this mandate is for the older ladies to come alongside. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of you older ladies are just gassed at this younger generation. Could it be because you've not been doing your job? Are you coming alongside the younger generation? Are you teaching them what the Word of God says and what to do? That's what, we need real women to step up and be examples and be open. If you made mistakes, look, we don't need plastic. We need real women to say, hey, this is where I messed up. Let me help you to keep you from messing up. This is how you handle the situation. This is what came, and when this happened in my life, this is how God dealt with it. To help one another, man, that's what it's about. That's what family's about, to help one another. That's our mandate. That's her mandate. I want you to look next, her message. And this is her mandate and her message. Look what it tells them. To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, obedient to their own husband. You have to teach somebody to love their husband? Yes! Sometimes it's difficult, okay? You got to remember, in this culture, it was arranged marriages. Okay? That's mom and dad picked out. How'd you like that, girls? This is who I want you to marry. You don't have no say-so. You wouldn't like that, would you? But you know what? I want you to please understand and hear me today. Love is not a ooey-gooey feeling. Biblical love is a choice. You choose to love that person. And it says the older women should teach these younger women that it's not this Hollywood romance that they're pumping and saying, if you don't have it, then it's you're not in love. Or I love them, but I'm not in love. You heard me say that. That makes me so sick. Where'd it come out? Oh, I love them, but I'm not in love. What does that mean? That's Hollywood. That's not God's Word. God's Word says you choose to love that person and you stay together. And listen, ladies, that's your mandate, to help these younger ladies to love their husband. Look, and to love their children. You say, wait a minute, you need help on that? 2 million of them getting killed a year. Don't you think we need some help? Abortion, over 2 million babies a year are aborted. Teach them to love their children. Kids are not a hindrance, they're a blessing. In fact, it said, man, the more you have, the more blessed you are. And I know somebody'd say, dear Lord, I don't know about that. The Bible says that. The reason why we look at them as a hindrance is because we're looking at them wrong. They're a blessing from God. A blessing from God. And you, the older ladies, you know what the world says? If this pregnancy is unplanned, then simply destroy the evidence. Older women must teach the circumstances that surround a pregnancy does not determine the value. We need to be taught that. And it says discreet. What is that word discreet? Common sense and good judgment. We all need that. We men struggle with that more than you women a lot of times. But older ladies are to teach these young women to have common sense and good judgment. How do you make good judgment? You learn these things, don't you? Sometimes you learn through the school of hard knocks. Older ladies, wouldn't it be great to sit down and say, listen, I blew it right here. Don't do this. How many ladies here, boy, if I had you raise your hand, I won't, would say, I wish somebody would have come alongside of me and told me these things. When the Bible tells us this is what we are to do. And then it goes on, chase. That's purity. The school system has raised and is raising women today, and they're the ones that kick God out of school, okay? Purity's got to be taught. Purity must be taught, ladies. We got to teach the young women. This is what a pure life. Raise young girls up to know what purity is. They're not being taught in school. You wouldn't believe what they're being taught in school. In fact, you'd peel your hair back. We've got to be teaching them. And then it says to be homemakers. This is actually two words. One's for home and the other is worker, a home worker. Now, I know that in our culture, women have to work outside, and I'm not here to give you a guilt, but your highest calling is at home. That's what he's saying. Your highest calling is at home. To be that person at home working, teaching, being with the kids, teaching them these kind of things, that's your highest calling. And that's why he's saying older women, teach them that. Yes, you got a juggling act. It's a juggling act for women today. Man, they juggle. They got to work. They teach the kids, you know, and the kids are in school. They're playing sports. You got all these things between mom and dad, and it's a juggling act anymore. Somebody needs to teach them how that looks. And the last one, I know you're looking forward to this, and obedient to their own husband. It actually means subject to their own husband, okay? That's what it means. You know what it says? You know what it means? Allow him to lead, lady. There's no place for headstrong women in here. Allow him to lead. You can't teach that, by the way, to younger women if you ain't living it. Allow him to lead. Now, I know it's very easy. The Bible tells us as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church. It's pretty easy to be led by a man that's loving you like Christ, right? I know that men have place, but you know what? It's time, even if he makes mistakes, let him lead. Why? Because that's his God-given role. And sometimes you're going to make mistakes. I told Sandy after messing up on one of my many stupid decisions, honey, you must think I'm a perfect idiot. At which she replied, honey, nobody's perfect. Allow him to mess up, ladies. Allow him to lead. Her manner, her mandate, her message, and finally her motive. And this is what's so important to us. That the Word of God may not be blasphemed. That's what it's about. You know what? The greatest influence that we can have right here at South Fork Baptist Church and Todd Community is families that are established in the Word of God. That's not being allowed to disintegrate. What kind of testimony are we giving if our families are falling apart? That we're telling them, oh, we need Jesus to establish good marriages. We need Jesus to raise good families. And yet, where our families are falling apart, that's not a good testimony for the Lord, is it? And we should never, that should never happen. Families to fall apart under our noses and not do anything about it. Never. We should be working and helping and striving. That doesn't mean, and I realize that a lot of you, I'm not beating a lot of you up. Some things you can't help. You get walked away from. You get cheated on. All these things. I realize there's all kinds of things in that. But as a family of God, we should help our families stay together and work to do that. If we preach Jesus is the answer to the world's problems, then we need to make sure Jesus is. He's the answer. You know, men, I'm going to challenge you right here at the beginning, or at the end, I mean. I hope it's not the beginning, right? You guys say, please, Lord. We need to glorify God. Men, we need to make sure we are treating the women of our lives like Jesus did. They're more than a mother, more than a wife. That's her role, by the way. That ain't who she is. She's a real person that has needs apart from you and them. Do not treat her in that way. That's her role. She's a person, has feelings. Love her as Jesus did. Ladies, many of you that are mothers know more than anyone what it means to be underappreciated, underthanked, and undervalued. You know what it means to be overlooked and taken for granted. Jesus never takes you for granted. He never overlooks you. In his eyes, you always have real value. I want you to think about that, ladies. If you're starving to feel value, Christ values you. In 1 Timothy 2:9, it talks about women, adorn yourselves in modesty. That word adorn is what we get the word cosmetics. Now, you ladies know all about cosmetics, and we're thankful for that, all right? Now, seriously, the word cosmetics, makeup. And I thought about this. Women need to put on the lipstick of a kind tongue, the blush of purity and innocence, the foundation of godliness, the eyeliner of compassion, and the mascara of sincerity. That should be our cosmetics. That should be what adorns us. Why? Because we are to be, or you guys, not we, y'all are to be godly women. We all are to be God men and God women. We should adorn. We should bring glory to Him in everything that we do. Our applications will be done. You want to make your way for the invitation song? Come on. Listen to the applications. Older ladies, are you teaching the younger women? Are you teaching the younger women? Number two, are you involved in the women's ministry here at South Fork? Just get involved. As Ellen said, you're already a part of it. Just do your part. Just get involved, man. I love the women and what they do here. And then lastly, is God glorified by your service to Him? Let's stand on our feet as we have our invitation time. It's not but about seven after, so we're good. We're good. Maybe you're here today and you don't know that you have Christ in your heart. This is ladies or men. I want you to know something. Jesus died for you. Just like these testimonies, whether you're 13 years old and you're going on 80-something, 70-something, we're not going 80-something. This kid, and I'm just picking. Or you're Sherry, whether young or old, you need to know that you have Christ. Here's the deal. If you fell asleep, would you wake up with Jesus? Christine sat right back here last Sunday. She didn't have a clue she wouldn't be here this Sunday. Could be one of us this week. You better be ready. That's nothing to play around with. Do you know that you got Jesus? If you don't, you need to come forward. Whenever, as soon as Brittany starts singing. I want the ladies to come up, every one of you that can, and I want you to get around this altar. Whenever she starts singing. I want us to have that time of invitation. Come on, you can start coming forward now. Come up and find you a place around the altar. Guys, this is what it looked like. So there wasn't no women here. Just for the record. Whatever's on your heart, ladies. So thankful. Give it to the Lord right now if you've got a burden. If you've got a loved one. If you got a child that's lost, give it to the Lord.
But He's become my eyes to see, the strength to climb,
so thankful.
My griefs to bear. The Savior lives inside me there. In Your love,
everybody I here know that if you would draw your last breath, you'd wake up with Jesus. If not, ask Him in your heart this morning. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Tell Him you believe in that crucifixion and that He died for you. That He resurrected on the third day and that you admit your sins to Him and you receive His forgiveness. Be saved today.
A living prayer, my God, to Thee. These trials of
way back. So thankful for you. Thank you. God bless every one of you. Boy, it'd be an ugly place if it wasn't for these beautiful women, would it? Thank God. Thank you, guys. Amen. Well, it's good, been good to be in the Lord's house today. Y'all keep us in prayer. We'll go down. The gravesite will be in Bakersville. It's about an hour and a half away. But we'll be back for Bible study tonight. So don't forget our Bible study there in the fellowship hall. Finger foods and Bible study start at 6 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you. If I don't, I love you. How's that? I love you. Listen, Chloe, if you would go back and help give out the cards for us, the Easter cards, and me and Sandy, I believe, will you dismiss us in prayer, and we'll dismissed.